Today on Real Radio.
Nicodemus. He's not going to come into play for 30 plus more years in our story. Nicodemus was the priest of Israel. He was the man. He was the guy. He knew it all. He came, and he came to Jesus by night. You know the story, and he said, Jesus, I want to tell you something. Now, you got to admit, this is pretty comical. It's nighttime. This guy's a big, he's got stripes. He's got, you know, he looks like a general. He comes to Jesus by night, and he says, Jesus, we know that you are a holy man, that you've come from God, for no man can do the miracles that you do. Don't you, stop right there. Do you think that's flattering?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're taking a look at chapter 2, where the author writes of the divine Messiah's entrance into the world. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Day God Came Down.
The angels gawked at the birth of Christ. I suggest it's not easy to impress angels. They were impressed. It's amazing. Verse 14 says that they gave glory to God in the highest, or glory to God in the heavens, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Quite frankly, in the original, it's peace to those of goodwill. That's the real word. In other words, peace to those who are attached to this message by faith. Peace to those who receive this message. And so the question is, have you received this message? Why is it so important that Christ would come as a man? Church, quickly, keep this in mind. This is what we're talking about. It is a fact, my friend, according to the Bible, that when you hurt, Jesus resonates sympathy. He hears you. Now, you all know this if you've read your Bible. When you're confused, he resonates that and he brings you an answer. Listen, when you're tired, Jesus resonates, he feels, understands, and knows what it's like to be tired, so he becomes your strength. That's why personally, I love ministry. I hope I don't hurt anybody's feelings. I love you, but I'm not here for you. I am here because when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. When I'm terrified, that's when I know he'll show up. Those of you who know me, you know this is true. You know that before service, my stomach is wrenched. I'm scared to death. I can't do this. But I revel in that weakness because if I step out, he'll show up and be strong. When I step up, then he'll show up and he'll be powerful for me. Why? Because I'm not powerful, but he is. When I'm scared, he says, peace be to you, Jack. Notice what you love about the Bible. When you read the Psalms, David is a fugitive. He's running. He's scared. And God says, I'll bring you peace. When you look at the disciples on the sea and the storm is raging and they begin to panic and cry out, Jesus comes to them and says, be of peace and good cheer. Those of you who understand this, you've got to place yourself in that moment of absolute being vulnerable because that's when God shows up the greatest. There's a secret to ministry. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's all about him. And when you find that secret, that you stand there, Jesus said, if you love your life, then give it up. If you want to retain it, you're going to lose it. What was he saying? He's saying, give your life to me, your will, your choices, your very plan. Give it to me and I will show you a life that you will never, never regret in this world and in the world to come. But if you protect your life and live in your way, you'll have no need of me. You'll have no need for me to show up. Don't ask me to fill you afresh with the Holy Spirit. You're not going to do anything with that. You'll have no need to call upon me and cry upon me when you're not interested in doing anything I have to say. He is awesome when he's dependent upon. And he reveals himself to these weak, despised shepherds. He uses angels, and both parties are impressed. Don't you think? This is our God. But this thing about him feeling and us feeling, us knowing something and worrying about it, and him caring and blessing us, you know what that's called? In the scientific world, it's called sympathetic resonance. It's in acoustics in that study. What does that mean? If I were to hit a piano key on this side of the room, ding, I don't know anything about music, A minor. If somebody hits an A, is there an A minor? Is there? Come on, is there? Yeah? B flat, something? Okay, B flat. He hits a B flat. The moment the other guy over here hears the B flat, he hits B flat. This guy hits a C something or other, he hits the same thing. Ding, ding, same. Sympathetic resonance. It's an actual scientific acoustical term. It's a repeat of the exact sound of the exact thing, but it's coming from another source. Jesus Christ came to earth as a baby because how are you brought into this world? As a what? A baby. Even when you were a baby, oh, listen. Could it be that when we read the Old and New Testament together and understand the passion and the love of God for life, God is pro-life. Do you understand that? He loves life. He's the only one, and he'll always be the one who created it. He loves it. If he doesn't want life to happen, he doesn't allow it to happen. He loves life. Could it be when the Bible says, in my mother's inward parts I was formed, that there is a sympathetic resonance taking place because he knows what it's like to be an embryo. He knows what it's like to be born. He knows what it's like to be 6 months old. He knows what it's like to be 1 and a half, to be 3. He knows what it's like to fall off a hay bale and sprain his ankle. He knows. This is your Savior, Christ the Lord. That when you say, oh God, this guy's scaring me and those threats are terrible, Jesus says, I know exactly how you feel, better than you can articulate it. I'll take care of it from here. The Bible says you don't have that because you don't ask that. Church, we need to get on the ball and rejoice and praise and go everywhere rejoicing in our God. Too many Christians have gotten into the funeral dirge of life. We need to be alive because our Christ is alive. And when we hurt, it's an opportunity for him to be strong for us. Third and final point, verses 15 to 20. The day God came down, a decision had to be made. A decision had to be made. And number one, look what the decision requires. Verse 15 to 16, it was to act upon what they knew. The shepherds knew something now. Okay, listen, they knew something. How many of you know one verse of the Bible? You know one verse. Raise your hand, please. Please raise your hand if you know one verse. And those of you who didn't know, you need to get one verse. Everybody's watched a football game. You all know John 3:16. Everybody knows that. Okay, so here's the point. When these shepherds heard what they heard, saw what they saw, without them saying, well, now look, doggone it, this whole crazy thing just happened. Now we're responsible for what we know. What are we going to do about it? Well, how do we vote? Okay, why don't we form a committee before we vote? They saw, they heard, they got up and went. Why? Because they acted upon what they knew now to be true. What do you know to be true? Are you acting upon it? Look at verse 15 and 16. They acted upon what they knew. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let's go. What do you want to do? I don't know. The angels, whoosh, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste. That means they were just, there's dust flying. They were running. They found, by the way, look, they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. That doesn't mean all three of them were in the manger. They found Joseph and Mary and the baby was in the manger. Okay, but watch this. They had to find them. I love what's here. This word here, they had to find. They sought out. They sought. They must have went from dwelling place to dwelling place, looking in. They kept going. They kept going and looking and looking and looking and looking. They found where they were. Hunting, hunting, searching, searching, pursuing, seeking after. Jesus says, knock, keep knocking, and it's going to be opened. Ask, keep asking, and it will be given unto you. Seek and keep seeking. They kept going. Why? Because look, my friend, they said, let's go, watch, and see this thing that has come to pass. Do you hear their statement? It's a statement of action. It's a statement of faith. They didn't say, let's go see if what the angel said was true. What did these men say? Let's go and see what happened. Do you hear the faith? It's already done. Wow, let's go. That's faith. And they took off running. You know what? Faith ought to make you run. It ought to make you go. I'm going to say something and I'm going to blame it on Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon said that the true mark of any person born again by the Spirit of God, a true child of heaven, is that they cannot keep silent about this. Amen. They've got to tell somebody. And they will find a way to tell someone, no matter how clumsy, no matter how bold, no matter how articulate, no matter how they do it. If they're an extrovert or introvert, if they're loud or soft, they'll find a way to tell somebody, this is what my Lord Savior Jesus Christ is to me. Spurgeon says, if you're really a Christian, you have to tell somebody. Well, look at verses 15 to 16. Faith gets up and moves. They want to make known that which the Lord has made known to us. They want to tell others. Verse 17 and 19 says this to us. 17, 18, and 19, it was to tell others about what they knew. And it says here that when they had seen him, that is baby Jesus, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph had to have a smile on their face when these strangers show up? Can you imagine? Wow. Angels. Zillions of them told us about this. Can you imagine Mary? What? Wow. Thank you, Lord. And all those who heard it marveled at those things. Met a lot of people around about what the shepherds had said. But Mary kept these things in her heart and she pondered them. And then finally, verse 20, a decision was made to believe in what they knew. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, just like the angels did, for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. I love that. First of all, they're a bunch of despised people. Everybody hates them. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't mean to give you the truth to hurt your feelings. Thank God we're this far beyond the cross. But in that time, in those days, there were two people that could not bear testimony in the court of law because their testimony was considered to be unbelievable or a lie. One was a woman. The second was a shepherd. The shepherds are the first ones to receive the announcement from the angels in the Bible. And when Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, who are the first ones to find that out and to proclaim it? Women. That's pretty awesome. So if you're a shepherd today, cheer up. God loves you. And if you're a woman, God holds you in very high regard. That's pretty amazing stuff. I want to end with this. Nicodemus. He's not going to come into play for 30 plus more years in our story. Nicodemus was the priest of Israel. He was the man. He was the guy. He knew it all. He came. And he came to Jesus by night. You know the story. And he said, Jesus, I want to tell you something. Now, you got to admit, this is pretty comical. It's nighttime. This guy's a big, he's got stripes. He's got, you know, he looks like a general. He comes to Jesus by night. He says, Jesus, we know that you are a holy man, that you've come from God, for no man can do the miracles that you do. Don't you, stop right there. Do you think that's flattering? Those are nice words, huh? Unless you're Jesus. Who knows what the man's thinking? Jesus, Nicodemus says to Jesus, we know that you've come from God, for no man can do the works that you do, and God is with you. Jesus cuts him right off and says, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you will not see heaven. You know what that means? Nicodemus, unless you're touched by heaven above, you're going to hell. Can you imagine Nick's face at that moment? He says, how can this be true? How can this happen? And Jesus pointed that man to the way of eternal life. And at the end of Jesus' life, who do you see believing in Jesus Christ but Nicodemus? And his belief grew into faith, and his faith took him to the cross, and him and Joseph of Arimathea took down Jesus from the cross and buried him in a nearby tomb. That's real faith. I say that to say this. Many people today have been anesthetized to a true relationship with God, because they've trafficked around things of spirituality, like perhaps Nicodemus did originally. Maybe you've been a member of some church all your life, and you think that's a pretty big deal to God. Maybe you've given millions of dollars to some aid or work or church. You think that's a big deal to God. Whatever your thing is, I'm this person. Jesus says to you, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. But Jack, I've been around church all my life. You know what? Maybe I can paint a picture for you. Being around church all your life is like peeking. Remember when kids are playing and you're playing hide and seek and you look around to see if people are peeking? You're peeking. You're trying to be associated with something you ought not to be associated with because you're not committed to it. You're not playing the game right. You're not in this right. What if God was to say to any of us this morning, you know what, you've been peeking. Peeking? I saw you peeking. What would he mean? I saw you trafficking around the things of spirituality. I saw you going in and out of church all your life, but you never took me in. You never had all of me because I was never given all of you. You're like Nicodemus at the start. You've been peeking. And you've never seen, and that's why you never rejoice. You've been peeking. You've never seen who I really am, and that's why you can't praise, and you can't run, and you can't tell others. You have no appetite to tell others. You've never told anybody because you've only peeked. You've never seen my glory. You've never experienced me. You know, this. I can't say the word peeking without being convicted of something. A couple of years ago, we were on our way over to host the tour of Israel. British Airways was our airline, and we had a layover in London. We had some time, and so that precious time that we had, I wanted to see jolly old England, you know? I wanted to see downtown London. I wanted to see where Mary Poppins lives. I wanted to see where Peter Pan flew around. I wanted to see all that. I wanted to see the streets and all that. And Lisa goes, I want to see the crown jewels. The what? The crown jewels. They're in the Tower of London. What do you mean jewels? Look, it says right here, it's the crown. And they have the crowns from all the empires. When they ruled the world, they have the scepter and the king's robe. And they have king this and that throne and this the other and his ring. They've got King George III's ring. Guys, what do you think the answer to that is? Anybody? This guy, yes, dear, over here. The answer is, at least on the inside, no. I don't want to see jewels. I don't care if they are the king's or they're crowned. I don't care. That's what I felt. I said, as this man pointed out, yes, dear. So we go, you know, and it's pretty radical. That is the fortress. And then so, okay, they're searching us now. What's the deal? You're in line to see the crown jewels. And they're patting us down. And what's in your shoe? And all this stuff. Man, what's the big deal? Then you advance further. There's guys there with machine guns. That's cool. I like this part. That's cool. So I told Lisa, I said, look, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to peek. I'm just going to peek. Why? Because she's really into this, and I'm not. I wanted to go do something else. I'll peek. Yeah, I can tell people I saw the crown jewels, but I'm just going to peek. So you get on there, and if you've been, you stand on the conveyor belt, and it starts moving. Well, it's very well done, and it's long, and you're going on there, and I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. And I look, because it's coming this way. I look. What is that? That is a scepter. It's huge. And the guy's going, that is pure gold. What? And I start looking at this thing. And then there's this crown. And at that particular day, they were displaying the crown of the Empire of England from India. Because, you know, whenever the king went or the queen went, they put on the crown for that continent or for that country. They had a zillion crowns. I was so impressed that I began, oh, look at that. Look at Lisa, look at that. Now, she's like, this is it? She's peeking. I'm, oh, wow. And the angle, I thought it was open. I mean, you could reach it, but I'm going, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. And I go over, and I hit the glass. On the conveyor belt, and my nose, there's two marks of my nose. There's where I hit, and then there's a skid mark on the glass. Why? I had come to peek, but I saw. I came to peek, but I wound up singing the praises and the glory of an empire gone by. I saw the incredible pomp and glory of a throne that is nearly powerless. And I left that day, and many times in the past since that, I've thought, my goodness, if I was impressed with that, when the Lord comes, ho, baby, it's going to be something. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's go. You know? It's time for you to make a decision. And I don't care what the person next to you thinks. In eternity, they won't be there with you on that moment when you breathe your last.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Day God Came Down. It's a look at the New Testament narrative written by Luke, chapter 2, and verses 8 through 20. It's part of our series through the Gospel of Luke, which will continue next time, so be sure and join us. Now, if you'd like to get a copy of this study, or to get in touch with us for any reason, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, you can click where it says Send Us a Message, and just drop us a quick line letting us know how Real Radio is affecting your growth as a believer. realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.